Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so today we'll be continuing from where we stopped last week. What did we talk about last week? Or what did we start last week? Who can remember? What voice are you listening to? The reason why I'm teaching us this thing, there are many, you know, remember what I was saying is that I remember what I was saying last week, that Jesus Christ defines his sheep by their... Hi, what's your name? Are you okay? Are you okay? Okay. Yesterday was Pastor Wande's birthday. One of the ways that Jesus identifies his sheep, meaning one of the ways that Jesus knows his people, is the ability to hear his voice. Hallelujah. Are we together? Keep it up. I like that. You know, it's one of the ways that Jesus is able to identify his sheep. Now, what that means for us is that when we say we are children of God, you know, whether that thing is a true statement or not, is also our ability to hear or to respond to God's voice. Hallelujah. Are we together? What I'm talking about is different from the, you see, there's the fact of you being saved, meaning you are saved, you've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, right? You are now seated on the right hand of the Father. Now, that is what has been done for you. But your own experience, you can be on the right hand of the Father, but your practical day-to-day experience is not that. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. For example, a child of God should not have, a child of God should not be shy. Hallelujah. There's nothing in him that allows for timidity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? But a child of God can be speaking in tongues and practically speaking, be shy. Okay? Now, what that just means is that that person has not yet, even though there is the possibility of no shyness, the person is not yet practically living it out. Hallelujah. So, you are a child of God. Yes, we agree that you are a child of God, you know, if you are saved. But you might not be practically living as a child of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the reason why I'm teaching this is so that you can practically live as a child of God. You know, when we talk about the voice of God, and that's eventually we'll get there. But one of the offshoots of this is answering the question of how does God communicate with me? Hallelujah. Are we together? It's not the main thing, but we'll touch it, you know. And if it gets what I'm saying, part of the blessing on you is that you would be practically communicating with God seamlessly. The only issue. Hallelujah. Are we together? Yeah. So who can tell me what they learned last week? And maybe just one or two people. Can we have the mic? I need like one or two people to tell us what they learned last week. Who wants to tell us what they learned last week? Please, can I have the, Joshua, can I have the tall chair? It's upstairs. Oh, yeah, no. All right, Aisha. All right. Thank you, Aisha. So one more person. So we spoke about identity. Hallelujah. All right. That the voice of God is primarily to give you an identity. Okay. That's what God's voice, when there is a sound, it is to identify you, which is everything. Is everything. We can talk about identity for 1 year, you know, and even though we are saying the same thing, it's just about the importance of what we are talking about. Who are you? You know, I was reading what people said. You people are very interesting people, you know. All right, one more person. All right, Elizabeth. Yeah. Okay. Let's thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you so much. So we started by saying that in John 10, right, 1-5, we are looking about how Jesus identifies his sheep Jesus knows the sheep by their voice, and when it comes to him, he names them. Hallelujah. Are we together? Can we share that scripture? We give them my name. He names them, right? Meaning Jesus is the one that gives the imprint of who these people are. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? If you're with me, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, looking at... to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name.
Right?
Calls his own sheep by name. Meaning that the primary, or one of the primary things that Jesus Christ does, is that he gives us an identity. And we're talking about how identity is very critical. You see, when it comes to everything that you will be, please listen to what I'm saying. When it comes to everything that you will be, right? Are we all together? Are we all together? When it comes to everything that you will be, you can't be greater than who is on the inside. Okay. What is happening on the inside of you is more important than what's happening on the outside of you. Okay. And identity is not external, it is internal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we together? Identity is not just a statement. For example, it's not just in the human context. If I say, who are you? The first thing you might say is, I'm in Nigeria. Abino. Am I correct? You could say, I'm in Nigeria, or I'm an Igbo person, you know. But you see, that's you can choose to make that your identity, but that's not really the core of where identity comes from. Identity is talking about your source. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? What did I say? Identity is talking about your source, right? Identity is the reason why, if maybe two goats should mate and you see frog, you will scream, I mean, maybe you see a goat, pregnant goat, a pregnant horse, you know, and the horse gives birth to cow. you know, you scream. You be like, ah, this is like a horror film. Like, why is this happening? I mean, the reason why that is happening is that from the source, a horse has gotten its identity from God. And that identity means that when it is producing, it can only produce another horse. Hallelujah. Are we together? Please just stay with me. Just stay with me. Okay? Please, if your head is paining you, maybe when I'm talking, what I'm saying is like your head is paining you. You can, number one, ask a question. Or number two, understand that it's normal. You understand? Your head, it's okay for your head to be, meaning I want you to be thinking. I'm carrying you along with what I'm saying. So, in the Garden of Eden, something happened after God created man. Okay? Just follow what I'm saying. Something happened after God created man. He brought all the animals before man. Right? And then Adam named all the animals, but then he didn't find his wife. Hallelujah. Right? You remember that story now? He didn't find his wife. Then God now made him sleep and that brought a wife from him. Okay? Now, what's the reason why he didn't find his wife? It's because he had at his core an understanding of who he was. And it was natural to him. Are you understand what I'm saying? It was natural to him to not want to wife any of the other animals. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? Are we together? So, for him to find a solution to his problem, the solution had to come from him because he has to marry the person that looks like him. Amen. Are we together? That's what identity is. It's not just a statement. Your identity is proven not by what you say, but by what you do. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. If Adam is a man, it's not just because he's a man. Or Adam's manhood is not just, I'm a man. No, Adam's manhood was proven by the fact that he couldn't marry an animal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Adam's manhood was proven by the fact that he couldn't marry an animal. No, there's something seriously wrong with you if you see bed and you start being sexually aroused. You know, there's something seriously... You have these serious mental issues, you know. You have these serious mental issues, Abina. Yeah. Because that's not who you are. So who you are is proven, right? And this is why you need to understand this thing. What I'm trying to say is that when it comes to identity, you have to stop hyping external statements that don't come from a true source. Within you. Hallelujah. Do you know what I'm saying? You have to desire something real or something realer than just, you know, people like, for instance, what do people identify as? If people want to make a statement, for example, one of the ways they can make a statement is to wear the same clothes. I mean, so maybe Light Army wants to minister. They will say, hey, let us wear white today. I mean, all right? That's how people choose to identify with each other, right? But for you, that can't be how you choose to identify with yourself. It can't be based on clothes. It can't be based on external things. It has to be based on what is happening inside you. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? So when we say that the voice gives you identity, you understand what I'm saying? That it takes you to the source. Can everybody say the voice takes you to the source? Can I say it one more time? Which is God. Okay? It's simple. Which is God. So the voice of Jesus will take you, is the way that you go. When we say that it gives you identity, all we are saying is that the voice of Jesus will take you to God. Hallelujah. And that is then where you'll be getting identity from. It's not a one-time process. It's a progressive thing. It's a progressive thing. Hallelujah. And the thing about identity in Christ is that it is discovered. It is not. That is why, you know, you see, in following Jesus, Jesus doesn't care about your emotions or your feelings concerning what you think you are or you can do or not do. Hallelujah. You get, you being a talkative has no bearing on you being a teacher. You understand what I'm saying, right? Do you get what I'm saying, right? You having a good voice doesn't mean that you're going to be in the choir. Hallelujah. Do you get what I'm saying? Because to God, God is the source. So Him is not, is the one, is only His equation that matters. He doesn't care about human calculation. When God is doing something, He doesn't consult human beings to do something. Do you understand? God doesn't, God consults Himself. So 2 + 2 is not always 4 with God. Meaning that, you know, you can see the way something might make sense to human beings does not necessarily make sense with God. You understand? You know, maybe you don't like tall people because they are short. So you feel bad whenever tall people are standing beside you. You know, your age mate. You know these people that maybe like now, as they're here like this now, if they come down from the chair, they will be taller. I don't know if you didn't catch that. But, you know, you might not like tall people. But then in church, God will make sure that your best friend is a tall person. Hallelujah. Are we together? Meaning that you're like, it's not in God's calculation, it's not in God's equation about you. Which is good, because what you are then, hi, it's been a while. Do you want to come? There's space here. Which is good, because what it means is that, are we together? Which is good, gospel, because what it means is that you too, you are a fresh person that is emerging. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? It's a good thing for you. You are a fresh person, so old things have really passed away. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? Old things have really passed away. You understand? That you fail in secondary school doesn't mean you fail in university. You understand? That you fail in university doesn't mean you fail in life. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? Because ultimately, what happens with you or the outcome of your life is based on God's identity, not based on man's identity, not based on what men have told you or what they did not tell you. Hallelujah. Now, you know, the funny thing about another reason why I'm teaching is, you know, if your expectation, so you should have the expectation of a change in identity. Or you should have the expectation of a connection to God so deep that it will alter your identity. It should be that strong. You should have that expectation. Hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? You should have that expectation. Very simple. I'm who God says I am. I'm not what I think I am. I'm not what I feel I am. I'm not what people say I am. Hallelujah. I am who what? I'm who God says I am. Amen. Now, one of the things about God, please listen to me. One of the things about God is that God is a king. Okay? And the implication of that is that his people too are royal. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? So, if you don't have a royal mindset, or let me put it this way, your identity comes with a royal mindset. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are you sleeping? Your identity comes with a royal mindset. So, what that means by that, or what I'm trying to say by that, is that you have to develop a royal mindset. Or, as you walk with God, you would develop a royal mindset. Everything that God is telling you to do, it is to develop a royal mind. Hallelujah. Holiness, for instance, is royal. You know, holiness is very snobbish. Are we together? Holiness really is don't stain my white. You understand? The mindset of holiness. Are we together? It's don't stain my white. That's why, you know, you have to be a little bit, I don't know if you know the word diva. Does anybody know the meaning of the word diva? Duty, what's the meaning of diva? Someone can look it up now. You can look it up on your phone. What's the word diva? Diva. Balaji, where's Balaji? Okay, Balaji has gone. Can someone give Pastor Wande the mic, please? Don't worry. That's it. That's the one I'm referring to. The second one. Someone that is acting entitled or holier than thou. You see, diva behavior is a kind of behavior where okay, none of you would know this, but as a guy, for instance, that depending on the girl that you want to toast, there are some places you can't take her to. Okay? So if a girl is used to a particular standard of life and enjoyment, you can't take her to Chicken Republic. Hallelujah. Are we together? Okay. Hear me, oh. So if you like, you better have money by force. If you don't have money, save up your money. So what will happen if you take, or if maybe this girl now, you meet her and you say, I want to take you out. I'm going to marry you. You know, you say all the right things. She said, okay, oh yeah, do your thing. You know, you now take her to one Amala joint down the road. You know. Now, what will happen is that, you know, a diva behavior is that she will tell you to your face, that's not my standard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right? Now, if she tells you to your face, this is not my standard. You know, that's entitlement. That's like, I don't know, but it's entitlement coming from her perception of herself. You know, so women will say, look, I can't spend all this money looking this good. You know, it costs a lot of money to look good. It costs a lot of money to do hair, to do skin cream. It's a lot of money, you know. So women are like, no, I can't look this good. And you take me to Yarisi or something like that, you know. You have to take me to a restaurant in VI. Hallelujah. Huh? So that's like diva behavior. Now, holiness carries a royal mindset, which incorporates diva behavior. Hallelujah. Are we together? The more you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, the less you want to stay in your way. You know, when some things come to you, it will be because you're saying, I can't go this low in terms of standard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a man, for instance, when you understand your identity, there's some women you will never marry. Never. Are we together? I was asking somebody, I was talking to a friend, and I was asked him a question. I said, you know, I just chased. I was like, all these girls in church, won't you see one and marry? Everybody listen to me. I'm saying something important. So I was saying, you know, all these girls in church, won't you see one and marry? I said, no, you can't marry any girl in church. I said, why? He said, they're not on my level. No, it's his opinion. Now, you don't conclude. You don't know what I'm saying yet. So, so I started asking him, I said, so what's your level? And he started listing out some things. I want, basically, wants a woman that is working in a bank or something like that. Yeah. So the end of that conversation was that, guy, you don't know your left from your right. You know. Because you don't know yourself. So because you don't know who you are, you can't see attractive people all around you. You're looking for, you know, you're a thief. You're looking for a ready-made person. You know. Hallelujah. So your identity affects even what you think is valuable. Okay? Who you think is valuable. So I was like, you see all these spiritual girls up and down, girls that love Jesus, and you're saying they are not on your level. Amen. You know how hard it is to find women that love Jesus? You think there are women that love Jesus everywhere? Most women in their 20s are sleeping around. Hallelujah. Are we together? Most, a lot of girls in their 20s, it's 30s that girls usually start becoming born again. 35, 40. No, I'm serious. I'm telling the first person I did laughing like that. I'm telling the fact, you know, after you have been run through, you know, they pass you around, then you now come to Jesus, you know. That's usually how life is. I'm saying what I just said now is a fact. It's, you know, women use their 20s for enjoyment. You know, they'll sleep around, you know, because you'll be fine. You know, when you know, you'll be very fine. And the boys will be all over you, especially this Nigeria where you have lots of Yahoo boys and politicians. You know, if you can just be fine in Nigeria, you know, by the time you reach 21, you know, that's when cows start dropping. That's when cow be honing. You know, that's the first sign that you are fine. Yeah. I'm going to say something, but don't worry. I guess fully what I'm saying. So it's not everywhere. Tell the truth. It's not everywhere there are young girls that love Jesus. But it's because he doesn't know who he is. So if he doesn't know who he is, he can't even know the kind of woman he should marry. You understand? He can't know. Hallelujah. Or maybe, you know, anyway, you get my point. So identity is it affects every single decision you make in life is based on your perception of yourself. Amen. Every single decision you make, every challenge you face, how you respond to the challenge is based on how you see yourself. Do you understand? Based on how you see yourself. Have you noticed, on a lighter note, have you noticed that women in village, when they give birth, the next day they're back in the farm? Huh? Women in Lagos, when they give birth for 2 months, they're in the house. It's a function of how they see themselves. You understand? It's a function of how they see themselves. So, you can be going through something tough. For example, maybe, I remember, you know, university is usually very tough for a lot of people because it can just be tough. University, or you can just get to a tough situation in life, you know. The way you are seeing that thing as a problem is not the way everybody going through that same problem is seeing it though. It's not the same way. You understand? It's not the same way. I've told you before now about my friend that when we were younger, he had a car as like a 17, 18 year old. You know, it's a big deal for like a 17, 18 year old to have a car. So he said he wants to go for a party. I was like, I carry your car and go for the party now. He said, lie. I will never go. I will never go for that party. You know. The thing was shocking to me because as a teenager, for a teenager to drive a car, that's a big deal. So in my mind, this guy is like Elon Musk or something like that, you know. But he said, lie. He's never going to go for that party. He's not going to drive that car. Why? Because the party is on the island. So the car is a Honda. What's the name of that car back in the day? Is it Baby Boy? End of discussion. I forgot the name of that car. But where it's going to is Range Rover that they are driving. Range Rover, BMW, him is on his Honda. So in his mind, me, I'm looking at him as a rich person. Him is seeing himself as a poor person. You understand? It's funny, Abby. Yeah, that's how it is. You can be poor and not know that you are poor. You can be rich and think you are poor. It's identity. Hallelujah. So, in Psalm 32, verse 8. Can we go to Psalm 32, verse 8? I'm recapping because that's how the thing is going today. Psalm 32, verse 8. The second element of God's voice, what it does is it gives us direction. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Let's go to the next verse, verse 9. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle. Else they will not come near you. Hallelujah. You know, and we were looking at the difference between a horse and a sheep. Now, a horse is guided by bridle, right? Sheep are guided by voice. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? You lead a sheep. Have you ever seen a shepherd using... No, right? You guide a sheep with your voice or rod and staff. That's how you guide sheep. Why? Because they are gentle. They are very agreeable to the voice of their shepherd. Okay. However, you have the horse or the mule, which is the donkey or the goat, which have no understanding. Now, when you lack understanding, what will happen is that for you to get direction, you have to be tough. You know, it has to be tough. That thing that they're using on horses' mouths is a painful thing, you know. You said, imagine if someone should do your mouth like that, they put it, and then for you to turn left, they have to You know, it's not an easy thing. Abuna, will you like it if you're like that? You know. So that your life will not be hard. That's just what he's talking about. So that your life will not be hard. You need direction. Hallelujah. Are we together? This hardness is not the hardness of hard work or overcoming challenges. Okay? This hard is the hardness of lack of grace. Are we together? When there is no grace, things are difficult. Okay? Things are difficult. In fact, one of the ways to know whether you should be on a path or not is if there is grace. Are we together? It's a sign that you should look at the thing again, because you should always do everything you are doing with grace. Amen. But you see, you, depending on your upbringing, you might be used to hardness than grace. You might be more used to hardness, meaning you might like hardness more than grace. Hallelujah. Are we together? That's why you need to remove stubbornness from your system. Okay? That's what the voice of God, hopefully, if you can learn how to hear God or learn how to be led by God, what it will do is that it will remove stubbornness from your system. Stubborn people lack grace. You understand? It's a very bad thing for you to be telling someone. You know, it's not a good thing, you know, that you're telling someone the same thing. You know, maybe the, you know, you get my point. So that's what it does. It gives us direction. Okay? It helps us. This giving direction also, because the process of doing things by grace is a healing process. Meaning, you know, I was so shocked. Let me tell you a story. You know, I was so shocked when my wife agreed to marry me. I was very shocked. Because for those of you that don't know, your wife does not agree to marry you during proposal. It's before proposal. If you want to propose to somebody and in your mind it's 50-50, you have to recalculate. Proposal is just a formality. Are we together? This one is more for the guys though. So when I say I was shocked, it's not that I was shocked during the proposal. The proposal was a grand proposal. The proposal was a TV proposal. I proposed to my wife on TV. Yeah, it was on TV, you know. That one is just for IG. That's for enjoyment, you know. But when she really agreed to me, I was so shocked because the conversation was just a casual conversation. Will you marry me? Yes. Even so, I think it shocked me. And my mother was like, so you have a wife like this? You know? Yeah. That's shocking. I'm serious. Because normally you would think that for you to get a woman to say, yes, I'm going to marry you, you have to have everything in the world, you know. Hallelujah. Are we together? You know? That's what you would think now. You have to have like two houses. You know, you have to do this, do that, do this, do that. But then I was so surprised. It was very normal and casual, and then we just continued talking. You know. Very shocking. Hallelujah. And that's grace. Are we together? Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? Okay? That's grace. Your life is meant to be powered by grace. But it can only be when you are directed by the voice of God. Okay? If you want me, shout hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 23. All right, let's read the Psalm. We'll read it together. One, two, go. Hold on now. Let's. I know everybody knows it. Let's be in sync. Let's. One, two, go. Hallelujah. All right. So, in verse 4 says, "Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So the voice of the Lord gives us assurance, okay, or comfort. And it's not comfort of come and lie down the bed. It's comfort of in the midst of danger or in the midst of trouble. Hallelujah. Gives us comfort. There's nothing as comforting as purpose. You know, understanding purpose and staying on the lane of purpose is very comforting. Okay? Hallelujah. It's very comforting. You understand? If you can learn to appreciate the voice of God and grow in your relationship with God, you get to a point where things like going to live in the village for Jesus, it won't be as hard as you think it would be. Okay? When you hear stories of maybe people that died for Jesus, people that did this, and, you know, maybe missionary that went to Bangladesh or something like that, you know. Now, the reason why it sounds tough, hallelujah, the reason why it sounds tough, and please, don't go and give yourself missionary work that God did not give you, okay? I'm just trying to explain something. The reason why it sounds tough is because of the distance you are from God. Okay? Because of the distance you are from God, right? Obeying God's voice is not really tough. It's about the culture of the person. Are you a goat or are you a sheep? Okay? If you've been cultured to be a sheep, even though you don't like it, you will still be comfort. You will still find comfort in doing God's will. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? Huh? Why? Because with God, every day of your life, you should be enjoying yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right. If I can't pay my house rent, I should still be enjoying myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning I should still wake up happy. Even though landlord is texting me when I give him, yeah, I should still be happy. I should still be relating with people. I shouldn't come to church frowning. You get my point? All right. That is the comfort of God. Meaning, even though you are in the shadow of death, hallelujah. When it says the shadow of death, it's not, you know, it's not a far-fetched thing. He's saying people want to kill me. Because, you know, David, at this point in time, was running away from Saul. Hallelujah. Are we together? Eh? As at this Psalm 23, the books of the Psalms, they're not all written in the same time frame. It's over the journey of, over the span of his life. So the beginning Psalms are around the time when he was like a fugitive, kind of, you know. Then eventually the Psalms change when he becomes king and that kind of stuff. So this Psalm, that's why people like, you know, that's why that thing of praying with Psalm, because Psalm has, you know, if you want to, where in scripture where they wrote about how God will deal with the people that are trying to kill you, it's because of David, because we were chasing David. So that's when he was talking about those things, you know. So when he says, "Yeah, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death?" What he's talking about, you know, it's just a metaphor for, you know, wahala. You know, I'm a fugitive. Saul is looking for me. Philistines, you know, I'm living in a tough season. You get? Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Please, do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So you're just talking about tough situations of life. Okay? Even though I'm going through, what can be tougher than powerful people wanting to kill you and you're running away? You're running up, you're living in bush. You know, is that serious? You know, I will fear no evil, even though I'm going through this tough situation. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So what that means is that when David was in that place, through his relationship with God, God was assuring him and comforting him. Are we together? That this situation doesn't define you. I'm still the one that chose you. You know how long? You know, it took David up to 40 years from the time he was anointed to the time he became king. He didn't become king at 23. It was a long period. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? It is a very powerful story. I'm not doing school of ministry here, but it's a very powerful story. If David could wait 40 years, you know, he said he can wait 2 years. Some people can't wait 2 years. After I worship God for 2 years, if the money has not come, you don't run away. You understand? You understand? All right? Some people, 1 year, you didn't pass jump. You want to kill yourself. Why do you want to kill yourself 1 year? What is 1 year? Huh? What are people that did 8 years? Oh, you don't know that? That's what I used to be before. Some people do 6 years before they enter university. You understand? You know, that's not the will of God, though. But the point is, I didn't kill them. Hallelujah. Are we together? So tell your neighbor, I don't want to see you frowning. I don't know what you are going through. Tell them, well, I don't want to see you frowning. I don't see anybody here. There's nobody here has any problem. There's nobody here. There's nothing you might think you are doing. I've not heard anybody that I open my mouth and say, I've not heard anything. I've not heard anything. You understand? Nobody here has problem like that. Nobody here has problem like that. You understand? In fact, pregnancy will even make me say, If anybody should go and catch Bele, I won't be surprised. I'll be sad for you, but I won't be... In fact, I won't even be sad for you. Immediately, I'll switch. I'll say, whether your baby is God's child. You understand? We receive him with joy and gladness. You understand? Are we together? Nobody has problem. Man, that's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem. Do you have problem? Ask your neighbor, do you have problem? Yeah. Then answer them. Yeah, they have problem. Your parents don't have money. Is that one a problem? Do you know how many rich people that parents didn't have money? You think that's an issue? It's not an issue. In fact, most wealthy people were not raised in wealth. Most wealthy people were not raised in wealth. And most wealthy people, their children usually finish the money. No, that's how life is. Their children usually finish the money. Most wealth does not last up to 4 generations. That's when you start hearing old money. You know, they just have a house, but they don't have money in bank account. They just have property, but the money bank has finished. Everybody has finished the money. You understand? Hallelujah. Most wealth is new money. You understand? The top billionaire today was not the billionaire last 10 years. You understand? The richest man in the world is always changing. That's the nature of life. Are we together? So I've not seen anybody with problem. My mother does not love me, eh? You know how people their mother does not love. Throughout my entire life, my dad never told me I love you. I never heard one day. I love you. You understand? It's only one gift my dad bought for me in my entire life. One board game. You understand? Only one gift. Are we together? Huh? So maybe that at least your dad has bought ice cream for you. Be happy. He has tried. You understand? All right. So now let me close. Okay. I'll start it quickly, then we'll continue next week. But you know, it is the voice of God that will tell you that you don't have a problem. You see, one of the things that are we all together? One of the things that guides my life and should guide your life is that you should only be concerned, hallelujah, with what God is concerned about. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Huh? You should only be concerned with what God is concerned about. There are many things that look like serious things, but are not serious. Hallelujah. As a human being, you can't solve all the problems of the world. You can't even solve all your problems. At every point in time in life, you always have like two or three major problems. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? No, I'm serious. You always have like two or three major problems. Many major problem that you'll be going for prayer meeting for. It's the way life is. You have to learn how to live. Amen. Are we together? Yeah. You always have major problem. You have to know what to focus on, what not to focus on. You understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the key to happiness or the key to joy. There are some things you will leave it. When it will be sorted. You understand? And how you can understand what to focus on is by being concerned with what God is concerned about. Now, this is why it is very important for your mind to be, it's very important for your mind to be solid. Hallelujah. Because I now want to talk about how the voice of God practically manifests. Okay? Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? The first way or the foundational way that we encounter God's voice is the scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we together? The first way that we encounter God's voice is the scripture. And by scripture, what I mean, or will I say the word, which is both in scripture and in preaching. Okay? The word exists as the word of God that is written in scripture. But then you can also encounter the word via the word that is preached. Hallelujah. Or taught. Okay? It's the word of God. Are we together? Huh? That is the foundational way the Lord practically expresses his voice. There are reasons for this. One of the major reasons for this is, please listen to me. Don't get tired. About to enter something, so I'll just say one thing and then we'll close, because what I'm about to enter is actually it's a journey. Or it's a thing. You know, ideally this scriptural thing, I'll need like a night vigil or something. But there are many reasons why that is the foundational way that God speaks. Part of that is, number one, how God made you. Okay? God, you see, the human being, everybody please listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. The human being is a type of being that, you remember when we were talking about the what man is, body, soul, and spirit. You remember, right? The human being is a kind of creation that the core of everything that is going on is the soul. Okay? That's the kind of creation the human being is. So, you know, the most important part of you is your soul. What's happening inside? Okay? And when God says you belong to me, what he's saying is that there is a process of me colonizing your soul. Hallelujah. Do you know what I'm saying? All right? So the most important part of you is not your ear. Do you get what I'm saying? It's what's happening inside you. And how do things get to inside you? What you read, what you hear, what you see. I mean, the way things get inside you are your gates. Ear, eye, primarily. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So, if anything is entering your ear, is entering your ear so that it can enter your soul. And from that soul, that is the real place to stay, not outside. Let me explain what I mean. How many of you have watched a video of someone that went to hell and came back? Or I read a story. Someone that went to hell and came back, and he said that I saw these people in hell. Don't be like them. I've read something like that. If you've seen something like that, Abby, how did you feel when you were hearing that thing? Scared, Abby? Yeah. How did you feel 1 week after you heard that thing? Normal. Eh? Meaning that you heard don't go there doesn't mean you will not go there. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? So God's primary way of taking that's why it's not a thing, you know? Is it? My God. Don't put hype on people that go to heaven and hell and come back. Don't put, just hear it as, okay, we are hearing good information. But it's not a, it means very little. It doesn't save anybody. It doesn't stop anybody from fornicating. It doesn't, everybody will just be scared in church. God have mercy. God have mercy. God have mercy. 3 days later, the person that is fornicating will fornicate. The person that is stealing money from office will steal money from office. Okay? So, there is a part of your ear that, as it's entering here, is going here. Are we together? Eh? But for something to stay inside, it has to go through your ear, go through your eye, in such a way that it can enter you. Because It is when something enters you that you will behave that way. Let me give another example. How do people learn how to, or let me try and look for a simple example. Who here cannot eat rice and stew in the morning? You can't. Everybody here can eat rice and stew in the morning. Okay. Do you know that there are people that cannot eat rice and stew in the morning? No matter how hungry they are. Do you know? Now, especially what you might not know, but imagine, okay? For example, the first time I went to somebody in church, and not this church, when I was still a young teenager, and the person offered me rice and stew in the morning, I was confused. Is this morning or afternoon? In my mind, I was genuinely confused. Because morning is not for rice and stew. Please, I'm going somewhere. What is morning for? Bread and tea, bread and egg, yam and egg, those kinds of foods, cereal, tea, coffee, all those kind of things. Coffee and pastries, right? And so, even moi self, moi is still manageable. Moi is still manageable. But that rice and stew, you don't eat rice and stew in the morning. And it's a behavior, okay? Now, it has changed. But why did I have that behavior? And why do you have your behavior? What made you behave in such a way? It's a simple answer. It's nothing deep. It's just think about it. Why do you think I had the behavior I had? Huh? What? No. Not because I'm used to it. Why am I used to it? Huh? Exactly, is what I see. Hallelujah. Huh? Is what I see. When I was growing up, all the cartoons I was watching, I did not see rice and stew in those cartoons. Do you understand what I'm saying? Around me, I did not see it. So, because I did not see it, it altered my behavior to the point that I found it strange that people eat rice and stew in the morning. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, bringing it back to, don't worry, we're done now. Bringing it back to what we are saying. Behavior. Remember, it's because of God knows how he made us. So, our behavior is shaped by things that we might discount. Now, when that knowledge of they don't eat this food in the morning, this is what they eat in the morning, when it was entering my soul, I did not know it was entering my soul. It was a very boring process. Hallelujah. Meaning nothing spectacular was happening. Yet, I did not follow under the anointing. You understand what I'm saying now? I did not see a vision. I did not see anything. I was just living life normally. And because of my environment, my very shape, my behavior to the point that I had that particular character. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? That's how God made us. Okay, that's how God made us. So, in God making us that way, God too, he knows that the primary way that he causes us to know him, to alter behavior with him, it doesn't need to be a spectacular way. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? The primary meaning is a very that is what a lot of times we call the still small voice. It's not just about a voice, it's about the principle that you might think that God is, if God wants to reveal himself to you, he will come with three angels. But God knows who he made. And he knows that he can come to you with three angels and you will still not change your behavior. What to make you change your behavior is a very simple process of repetition of what you are hearing, what you are seeing, what you are hearing, what you are seeing, what you are hearing, what you are seeing. Very simple process. Do you know what I'm saying? So, if somebody comes today and reads their Bible and hears the word, reads their Bible, hears the word, reads their Bible, hears the word, reads their Bible, hears the word, it's a very simple process. It's a very boring process. It'll be like nothing is happening. Are we together? It's been like nothing is happening, but at a point, you'll start seeing shifts in personality, shifts in character, shifts in attitude, even shifts in encounter. Hallelujah. Are we together? So foundationally, God's voice is everywhere. It's not, God has already been speaking to you. The Spirit of God has already been moving around you. You understand? Fundamentally coming from the people preaching to you and the straightforward verses of the scripture that you are reading. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do not put spectacular experiences before God's word. You will run mad. It's not you might run mad. You will run mad. You will run mad. It's not you might. You see, there are different kinds of madness. It's just that people don't know. There's a madness that you can still be going to work, coming back. But actually, your brain has ceased in some places. Huh? Are we together? If you put spectacular experiences before mundane, normal experiences as a human being, you are a spirit, though, but you are not primarily existing in spirit. The way God put you in this physical place and the way you interface with the spirit primarily is what you see, what you hear, what you see, what you hear, what you see, what you hear. That's why if you watch people kissing a movie, eventually the thing will enter you. Yeah, that's how you catch spirits. Just what you see, what you hear, what you see, what you hear, right? But if you put, I want to have a dream. I want angel to visit me. All this prayer I'm praying, God, me say, when will angel visit me? if you put that thing before this other one, you will run mad. It's just that your madness might be manageable madness. I've said there are different kinds. There's mad on the streets. Are we together? There's mad in office. There are people in office that are mad. Their brain has gone, but their office, they are going to work. They are eating food. They are doing everything. That's where you pray yourself. I know that this guy, your mind is going. Your mind is going. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, the important thing that the word of God will do, remember, via scripture and via preaching, is that it will change how you think. Hallelujah. It will change how you think. Now, how you think,
Your life
will not look like what you hear from God. Your life will look like how you think. Okay? Everything that will happen in the future is already in your mind now. See what I'm saying? It's already is a function of what's happening in your mind now. What will happen in the future, you're already thinking it now. Amen. So, that's why, for example, I'll teach you about marriage, because I want you to think about marriage. You understand? You won't stumble into marriage. You wouldn't. That's not it to be. So, that's why when I'm teaching, I'll tell you, because I know you're young. How many of you are thinking of marriage? But I want your mind to start thinking, because it's the way you're thinking now that your future is just what you are thinking now. Now, when the Word of God, the highest level of impact that the Word of God can have on a human being is to reorganize how they think. That's the highest level of impact. Okay? That is why the foundational expression of God's voice is the Word, because it's the Word that changes how you think. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Amen. So we'll continue next week, right? But I don't want anybody here to. I don't want anybody here to ignore the importance of a sound mind. You know. Are we together? I don't want you to ignore the importance of a sound mind. Reduce your God told me is a bad habit. Well, I have the opportunity of training you at a young age, so I will tell you, it's a very bad habit to say, God told me. It's a bad habit. What did I say? It's a bad habit. It's a very bad habit. Do the right thing. You understand? Are we together? If, for example, now you fight in your class, you have an argument with somebody and you say you are stupid, it can happen. You're not a perfect human being. You say you are stupid. It is better that as you are walking away, your mind is like, Kai, you know, this is not how I should behave. I should go and apologize. It's far better for your mind to operate that way than for an angel to come and meet you and say, you know, the scripture says you should go and apologize. Your mind thinking, because you know the right thing to do, is far better than you seeing an angel telling you the right thing to do. It's far better. And even if an angel comes and tells you the right thing to do, when you go and apologize, don't say, look, see, the reason why I'm apologizing is because an angel told me. When you go and apologize, just say, I'm sorry. What I did was wrong. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. It will keep you from so many trouble. Huh? And you need to be good in your identity. You see, you don't need to sound spiritual to be led by Jesus. You know, you don't need to. I will respect you more if you tell me God told you. You understand? It's not a form of respect. It's not like I'm now part of the big boys. We say God is now talking to us. There's no group like that. You understand? Are we together? There's no such group. Okay? So don't do it, because I know lots of people try to do it because they feel like this is the way I will be respected in the community. Or this is where my opinion will be respected, which is very bad. You understand? All right. Any questions? Does anyone have any questions before we close? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have made available for us. We give you praise. Lord, we thank you. We ask that you shall help us and heal us of every false identity that we have accepted in the name of Jesus. Reveal your true self to us. Show us who we are. Beings of love, beings of light. Show us who we are. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.